Greetings, folks, and in this episode, we'll take a deep dive into technical things regarding tournament water skiing with one of the most sought-after officials in the sport. It's all coming up in this episode of the TWBC Podcast.
The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Skiing. This is the TWBC Podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings once again. I am the aforementioned Tony Lightfoot, and this is the latest edition of the TWBC Podcast. Thank you very much indeed for tuning in. And also a big thanks to my guest for appearing on this this podcast. His name is Jerry Jackson. How are you doing, sir?
Tony, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I'm doing very, very well indeed. So you're quite a well sought after official. I mean, you've officiated in Masters and a whole bunch of other tournaments, including this one at Lake 38. You've done nationals, internationals. But I'm rather curious as to how you got your start in doing all of this. I mean, because you're an active water skier, and you actively participate in the sport, not only at the technical judges level, but also in a competitive level as well. So trying to give us a little brief overview of how you got started in this sport.
Well, I got involved because I loved water skiing from the time I was very little, watching them on TV and stuff back in the days, and I wanted to do that, and I got older, and unfortunately I wasn't able to do that until I got 33. Oh. And when I got involved, because I was in engineering, I worked with people like Roger Dillon and Ed Brazil, Gene Davis, Dave Clark, a bunch of guys I got involved with and working, and I just got involved with it, and there I went with the technical side of it, because I sure wasn't a water skier. I love water skiing, but I'm not like these guys out here.
Oh, I beg to differ. I beg to differ, because I see you juke it around that slalom course and get behind the boat along with the best of them, certainly within your age category. But here we are at Lake 38. You're getting everything set up. You are the technical controller, and you've been a technical controller. How many years would you say you've put into the sport in that particular role?
I can't count the years, but I started, I guess, in 87, actually. I started in 86 skiing, and 87 I went right into tech control and working people. Now, of course, it took 4 years to get to be an homologator, working with all those guys to do that. But, yeah, it's been a long time. Thanks for a lot of help to get there. But, yes.
Okay, and your professional background is an engineer, a rather niche form of engineering. Kind of give us a little bit of an explanation on that one, because, I talked to you a little bit before this podcast, and you explained to me that you do, like, pumping stuff with nuclear power plants, that kind of stuff?
Well, it's a nuclear facility. I do startup testing. So we do a lot of instrumentation, electronic controls, up to 600 horsepower variable speed drives and 300 horsepower pumps. So I go from little stuff to TCS controls to large motors, test them, start them up for the first time. We have a motto, don't let the smoke out.
compared to what you do on a day-to-day basis, I mean, this technical controller stuff at skiing tournaments must be an absolute walk in the park.
It is a walk in the park until something happens. And when it does happen, unfortunately, it's going to happen. You know, these guys work hard and get where they're at, and sometimes we just don't have the technology to let us down for what we need, and that's the sad part of all this.
You know, when things start going pear-shaped, as I use that English expression, when things start going by the wayside, you have to kind of have a contingency plan to keep things going along. Has there been an instance that you can recall where things just went absolutely completely out the window and you had to come through in the clutch?
Well, I mean, that just happened this past weekend, but yeah, it does happen. I mean, I had one tournament, we had four national record or federation records, and we lost all four of them because of a VCR back in the days. It was their show and recording, and at the end of the day, we had nothing. So that was very disappointing. So you have that. Now we try to use backup after backup, and I like SurePath. That's one thing we have, SurePath, and technology we got today is probably one of the best things we've got for records.
Now you've been. Now you've worked closely with the guy who actually invented a shore path. His name is
James Timothy.
James Timothy from England. I should know that. I should be able to recall that instantly. But you've worked extensively with shore path. I mean, how constant is the communication? How much is the feed? How often do you get with him feedback wise to continue on and improve that system?
Well, he's helping me. I reach out to him about every 3 days, and he's always educating me. He's very, very helpful, very helpful. So he reaches out not just me, to everyone. So anybody, he's out their product just like we all are. We want the very best, and that's what he's trying to produce. So.
So I mean, and that's like one of that the boat path and measurement system, you know, with shore path. I mean that's really helped slalom driving, you know, to gain its consistency and to make sure that it is a fair playing ground for all skiers, regardless of their skill level and what they want to achieve out there. Right.
That's correct, and it's really helped a lot of drivers. It's helped guys as amateur drivers. That's when I really got involved with. I saw some amateur drivers that was actually pulling me, and we put it in the boat. I had in-course video and everything else. Once we put that in the boat, it really improved. So it's helped everyone. So,
all right then. So, not only are you involved in the physical skiing side of the sport and being the technical controller of an event like this, but you're also involved from an organizational standpoint, because you, alongside Tommy Harrington and maybe a couple of others, which I'm sure you'll mention, you're behind the annual organization of the Malibu Open, right?
Yeah, actually, you know, Dana Reed started working with Malibu and started that, and he was a really good friend of mine from forever. Him and Tommy Harrington was, and Dana passed away. I said, I'll help you. Dana, I told Dana before he passed away, I said, I'll do it 1 year, and unfortunately, I'm still here helping Tommy, and now actually we got, of course, this is because Malibu, Regina's really stepped up the plate, so not only is she skiing, she's helping promote Malibu Open. So Tommy and Regina is really doing it, and I'm just on the sidelines, but they're doing it.
Okay, that event was actually scheduled for a little bit earlier on the season, but I think it got moved in it towards October, right?
Yes, we got moved to October. The main reason, we've always had a sponsor like a Malibu boat dealer. They've always been, we was in up north a couple of times with the dealership there. So we went to Trophy Lakes because they helped us out, and we've been looking for a boat dealer. And so Rambo's one of the biggest boat dealers around the area. So Rambo's helping, Rambo Boat Marine's helping us put on the tournament at Tuscaloosa, Limanland.
Yeah, Limanland. I mean that's that area of Alabama actually hosted a pro event a few seasons ago. I think the elimination rounds were at Limanland, and they tried to do the finals on like the river or something like that back in the day. So obviously we're going to a premium site, and we obviously have to have a big shout out to Lyman Hardy. I'm sure he appreciates that. But I mean, what other challenges are experienced by you going forwards? Notwithstanding the fact that you had to move from an established venue such as Trophy Lakes to a new setting as Lyman Land is, because I mean, it would seem like a turnkey operation, but there's a whole lot that goes on in the background, right?
Yeah, the background, really, all your sponsors and stuff, we try to get local sponsors. And that's what Regina and Tommy, you know, they work hard on towards that with Lyman and them getting all that done. That's the hard part, you know, as you know. And the second hard part is y'all coming in and you're setting up. You've never been there before. It's all new. So y'all have the hard part. I got the easy part. Lyman Land is set up turnkey operation, so you have the hard part.
Yeah, bringing in our stuff and making it work with all of the other stuff. So, I mean, I mentioned Malibu Open because you do have a deep involvement with that sport beyond what you do in the technical area. Beyond this competition, Lake 38, what other tournaments do you have on your slate? Are you involved with the World Games or anything?
No, I'm not doing the World Games.
Not going to World
Games. I'll be there, but I'm not going.
Let the technical controller be someone else for something like that. Yeah. But I mean, I mean, sitting on the sidelines and watching a ski event like the World Games and not being involved in, as such. Now, that must feel really strange at times, huh?
It does feel strange. I went to the Worlds this year, and it was really strange. I wasn't involved. I went to the Worlds and JT. Of course, you got JT and you had John Carter. You had some great TCs there, but it was just, it was, I felt like I was relieved, but it was, I felt like I should be involved.
Yeah, I mean, Jonathan Travers and the like, and Zach Warden, between them both, have actually involved themselves quite a bit in TC work, which probably takes a little bit of strain off your shoulders after so many years of doing it. But I mean, for those guys, as young as they are, to be involved must be a good sign for the sport going forward.
Yes, it was like when JT wanted to be a TC, I said, JT, you know, my concern is when you start, your skiing's going to go down. Well, actually, JT's kind of like me. He's got to be doing something, and he'd rather be doing TC and skiing. Look what he's done, done at his own tournament and what he did at the Masters. He helped me out there at the Masters. He was in the water with me doing the jump, setting buoys up and everything, and he went there and skied his lights out. So he's kind of like me, rather be doing something than skiing. But we got a lot of greats. We got Martin Coleman, who's a young TC coming up. We got JT. Now we got Jack Critchley, who's a pro athlete. I mean, you think you've got the pro athletes, now they're wanting to be a TC and do all the work. So that's what I'm excited about, seeing people like Jack Critchley and JT and the Martin Colemans. You got the best of the best, and they're doing the technical side of it too.
And between the bunch of them, I mean, it's not like they come into the whole TC business having knowing how to use a theodolite or anything like that. I think they have to learn that skill after they start getting involved, you know. So, I mean, for those of you that are listening and are like thinking, okay, I want to get involved, I want to help out at a tournament and become a TC. I mean, What would be the initial steps for someone listening to this and thinking, okay, let's give it a go?
Yeah, I do have some young engineers that came out of college who did collegiate skiing, and they've gone to college and they've reached out to me to do it. And my best thing is go to tournaments and work with the TCs there, and that's how you'll learn. It takes you don't learn it overnight, but you will learn it. And every TC that I know of encourages all the young people to come in. That's what we need. Hey, the more young people I got, the easier it is on me.
Yeah, because it is quite an immense endeavor. I mean, you've got your officials. I mean, they work hard officiating during the event itself, and then the driver and then the chief judge. But all the preparation that takes place before the tournament, making sure the buoys are high enough, soft enough, they're in the straight line, if the boat's working, the shore path and everything, that all falls upon the TC.
That does. That's correct. But we got a lot of help. The drivers now, more and more they learn about shore path, they're involved helping. They're also making sure the survey is done correctly so they can drive straight. Make sure the buoys are low, the boat guides are low enough, so they get a good visual of the boat path and the boat course is straight. So now we got the drivers more involved in helping us to make sure it's right. That's a big plus. So it's, yeah.
Now, so far as boat driving is concerned, now, I spoke a few weeks ago to Will Bush, who is probably one of the most sought-after drivers out there, Masters and Swiss Pro and a whole smattering of tournaments around the world. And, I mean, you know him, you know, and you've worked with him. He tells me that we're getting relatively close to auto drive.
Yes, that's coming out. Will and I have been on a couple conversations with that. And Will's actually tested a couple with people, but you know, we still got a way to go. I don't think you'll see it this year. I'm not sure about next year, but it's coming. It is coming.
Yeah, and I mean the conversation that I had with him on that is, I mean, it's not something where you just leave the dock, press a button, and it makes its way around the island and straightens up and goes to slalom course. It's something to where once you've made the turn around the island and you straighten up for the slalom course, it keeps that boat path within the realms of the GPS zone, that type of deal, right?
That's right. It's basically using SurePath to monitor the boat path. Yep. That's what it's. We'll see. I know the guy James Timothy's working on. There's a couple of guys, people working on a system. So we'll see who gets there.
All right then. So I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Within the technical aspects of the sport, are there any things that you're seeing right now that you're that are signs of optimism going forward? Any new innovations that you seen that could surface going forward?
Yeah, Don Connors, Splash Eye.
Donald Connolly, yeah.
He's working on a couple of things, and I don't even want to get into it, but it's awesome. He's doing the trick things he got, where he got doing live tricking, and that is one thing we'll be using at the Malibu Open, I think. We'll be doing live calling tricks, and it's scored immediately.
Oh, wow.
As it goes down the lake. Donald created that, and Donald's been working on it for several years, and he's got that, and I think Malibu might be the first place that's used, I think, as far as a pro event tournament. And he's got another thing for jump measuring stuff. So, Donald's always way out there. So he's coming up some great tools. And that's why it's nice to have these young engineers coming up that can follow that trail. That's where we're going. When I started, it's putting meter stands up.
Yeah, I know the horror of actually working those meter stands. I mean, you would struggle to get volunteers to do it for starters, because you'd stand there and sit there hour upon hour, and your eyes are going crazy. And my dad used to do that. It was actually a meter reader for the World Championships way back in 1987. So we're certainly glad that we've gone way, way past that deal. So when you look back at what you did back in those days to try and get things going and seeing the progress that we've made today, it must be mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's all mind-blowing. Look at what y'all have done for our sport. Just look at this equipment y'all got here. It's mind-blowing to me. So, but that's what we need in our sport is what y'all do, and this is what's great about our sport. We got the great skiers out here skiing, and y'all bring them to the webcast so other people who can't go watch them are able to see that. That's to me is really what's. I think this is the more technical side of it. Is what y'all do.
All right, we'll put a button on this podcast, and I certainly thank Jerry Jackson for being a participant in this podcast. Is there any shout outs or recognitions you want to give to it to any folks that have helped you along? Now would be a good opportunity.
Well, that's everybody in water skiing. I mean, there's not a single water skiing, and for my skiing, it's been Regina Jacobs has been. Ever since she was 5 years old, her mom and dad have been involved. So, that's who helped me in my skiing. But as far as technical side of it, it's been everyone. I mean, even you and Vince have even helped me. Everyone. So, thanks to everything. But
we certainly look at brighter things going forward, especially that trick calling that
Donald's got.
Yeah, yep. that Donald Connolly's got. That has been Jerry Jackson. I'm Tony Lightfoot. This has been the latest edition of the TWBC podcast. And until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.